All right, we're on chapter 24. Chapter 24. Anybody else need one? Y'all need a chapter 24? And there's a couple of number two notebooks, and that's the one chapter 24 will be part of. All right, so we're dealing with chapter 24, that's of the Westminster Confession of Faith. It deals with marriage and divorce. Now, there are no catechism questions, as the title page there notes, but I'm going to give you some, kind of like we did last chapter. Some to consider as we go along here. Last week, we looked at paragraph 1. Marriage is to be between one man and one woman. And I put a little note by mine, that's the framework. And why? We live in a day and age where there are plenty of people, there are people, I won't say plenty, I don't know the number, but there are people who would say it could be between a man and a man, a woman and a woman, it could be all kinds of things, all right? And you very well could be confronted. Well, why does it have to be one man and one woman? And your answer would be what? Because if you don't have an answer, do you have any argument at all? So what's your answer? What did we consider last week? The basic principle here, one man and one woman, because God created it that way. God established it that way. You say, well, so what? Well, then we considered what we know about God. And the two things particularly that we considered that we know about God is that God is all, what? All knowing, all wise, all right? Knows what he's doing. He created everything. And as we marvel at the complexity, and yet he takes care of it, it functions perfectly as he created it and ordained it to function. And the same's true with the marriage relationship. He's all wise. He knew what he was doing. And the other attribute of God that we considered that factors in, you can consider others, but these are the two we focused on. The other one was what? God is what? God is love. God's love. He established this relationship out of a heart of love. From the beginning, even in creation. And we talked about, and you even heard about it Sunday night, the relationship, the companionship in the Godhead, right? And God created man, and then he said, but it's not good for man what? To be what?
To be alone.
It's not good for man to be alone. There's not an aloneness, there's not a lack of companionship in the Godhead. And God said, it's not good for man to be without that companion. Right? So we've got the companionship aspect established by God. Then we turn to what we know about God. And the final thing that we considered is that it's a type of what or who? Type of who or what? Better get this one. Christ in the church. Type of Christ in the church. And there's, as it were, the head, Christ, and the bride, the church. Now, these are important because when you're in a marriage relationship or considering a marriage relationship, these things have to come to bear. You've got to think about them. You've got to consider them. You've got to keep them in front of you. Because if you don't, you're going to get your mind messed up and you're going to get your relationship messed up. Right? So, we've got the framework. Then we come to paragraph 2. And we touched on it a little bit last week, but this is where we'll pick up today. Marriage was ordained for the mutual help of husband and wife, for the increase of mankind with a legitimate issue, and the increase of the church with an holy seed, and for preventing of uncleanness. Right? And I titled this one, this little paragraph, The Function of Marriage. All right, the function. We have the framework, and we have the function of marriage. Now, what do we know, and I kind of talked about it already, but what do we know before sin entered the world, what do we know about the function of the marriage relationship? What does Scripture tell us? Now, we know generally that there's this helpmeet, but specifically, what do we know? What did God tell us in the perfection of creation before sin entered the world? What was or is the one thing that we know that the marriage relationship was to do? Just think about it. God's told us one thing, one purpose, one function for this relationship. And what was it?
Be fruitful and multiply.
Well, no, that's, we've got that as to creation and to man and woman. So the Holy Seed, yeah, we've got that part. So that's good. What else? But let me kind of back. When Christ focused in on this, man had been created, and Christ and God focused in on this creation, man. And what did he say? I just said it a while ago. It's not good for man what? To be alone. All right? I would suggest to you that in the perfection of creation, the primary function of the marriage relationship was companionship. Companionship. Right? It's not good for you or for me to be alone. Not good. It tends to leave you, obviously, to yourself. That can be okay at times. That can be rather dangerous at times. Loneliness is a hard thing to deal with. And God knew it. God said, this man needs a companion. He needs somebody to be a companion. Now, what that entailed, Bob mentioned, obviously, being fruitful and multiplying. But the companion, I don't know what they talked about. You know, you ever wonder what the conversation might have been like? Doesn't say that God created Eve, woman, to do man's job or help him do his job. So I don't know what the conversation might have been like. But there was a need for conversation. There was a need, because you don't have companionship without conversation. Right? Doesn't happen. You can coexist, but you don't have companionship if you can't communicate, if you don't talk to each other. Just not going to happen. So we've got this companionship in perfection. Now, man sinned, right? Messed it up big time. And immediately we see a fracturing of that companionship, don't we? Immediately. When God came and said to Adam and Eve, what have you done? And Adam's response was, it's her fault. Immediately, that oneness starts getting fractured. It's what sin will do. Right? So it should tell us something. Immediately, because when God deals with Adam and Eve, and then when he addresses Eve, you're going to be subject to him. Immediately, that companionship becomes somewhat of a competition. It becomes a conflict. It becomes a battle. It doesn't work the way God created it to work. Because sin promotes who? Self. Sin promotes self. And that is totally contrary to the marriage relationship. I mean, it's contrary to what we know as we consider the fifth commandment. Is contrary to Christianity. I've said it before. Christianity is the only religion that puts others ahead of yourself. And in the marriage relationship especially, that's got to be true. So we've got this conflict. Now, with that in mind, and going to my question there on page 619 that deals with this paragraph. What are the functions of marriage? Now, we've talked about generally the companionship. But I want to talk about some just specifics. Now, I'm not asking for personal information, obviously. But, all right, those who are married in here and have experienced the marriage relationship, tell me some of the benefits, some of the functions of that relationship. What is it that makes that relationship something special? Something helpful. What is it? As God created, established this relationship for the benefit, the mutual help, our confession says, the mutual help. It goes both ways. It has to. It suggests to you, and we know it, being fallen creatures, we need help. We obviously need help from God in our sanctification. If we know Christ is our Savior, we need help from God for our justification, our salvation, if we aren't saved, right? But this relationship, this mutual help, we need it. And that companionship is there to help provide it. So what do you think? I mean, there's one that probably has to be at the top of the list. And that's just to know human love. Right? To experience a love that's unique to that relationship. I would suggest to you that when you experience that, you experience something that is known and experienced to perfection in the Godhead. That makes the marriage relationship pretty special, doesn't it? If God lets you know something through that relationship, something of what is known in the Godhead, in the Trinity, the three in one, the marriage relationship, or two brought together as one. And we talked about that last week with the cleaving and the idea of the glue bringing and binding you together. And again, that got mentioned last Sunday from the pulpit as well. But we talked about that. So we've got this relation. Now, in the Godhead, there's perfect love. The marriage relationship, it won't happen just because of our sinful old nature. We mess it up from time to time. But love, we know from Scripture, covers a multitude of what? Sins. It takes that love in that marriage relationship to cover the disappointments, the sins that are against God that cause hurt to the companion. Okay? So love has got to be probably the number one thing in that relationship. The experience of a love that is known only in perfection in the Godhead. Now, what else? Based on that, you know, practically, this isn't terribly difficult. At least I don't mean for it to be. But just practically speaking, what else? What's another? I'd put it right up there with love. Because you won't do one without doing the other. And that second thing is prayer. Prayer. Praying. Praying with, but praying for. Praying for when you're just alone with God. Because sometimes it's kind of hard to pray with the spouse and pray what's on your heart, because you're afraid you'll offend, you're afraid you'll hurt, you're afraid you'll make them mad. It'll put you in a position of having to enter into a discussion that maybe you're not quite ready to enter into. Okay? But there is absolutely no reason You can't pray for your spouse. None. And I would suggest to you, and we've talked about prayer, the honesty of your heart that God sees when you pray. If you can pray for that spouse with whatever's on your heart, we know that God hears and we know that God answers prayer. Now, I don't want it to sound like that the main thing you need to be doing is praying that the Lord will take care of all the problems. Make them the perfect spouse. That's not a good prayer. Lord, help them to be as perfect as they can be. Yeah. But they'll never be perfect. And if you pray that way and create expectations, you're going to be disappointed. Disappointment's going to lead you to do things you shouldn't do in that relationship. But praying for them, and in praying for them, I would suggest to you that you start with yourself. You pray that God will make you to be the spouse for them that He intends for you to be. Because you can pray for them and God can make them as perfect of a spouse as they can be. And if your heart's not right, it's not going to matter to you. There's still going to be trouble. So you start with yourself. You pray for self. Right? That the Lord will keep you from being too proud. That the Lord will help you to fulfill the role, and we're going to talk about that some too. Fulfill the role that God intended you to fulfill in that relationship. Okay? That God will meet your needs. God will help them. God will instruct both of you, give you wisdom in your relationship. Give you honesty in dealing one with the other. Increase your love for one another. Right? Praying for. Encouraging. Okay? Practical things. And if we don't think about it, we should. And I'm talking to myself as well. If we don't think about it, we should. You know? Kind of like our relationship with the Lord, isn't it? It's there, and maybe for some of us it's been there a long time. And sometimes we just don't come to the Lord and say, thank you. Right? Thank you for another day. Thank you for the food. Little things. Where we express to, in this case, our context, to the spouse. You know, you do a great job. And whatever the Lord directs you, that lifts the spirit. You know, maybe there's some discouragement. Maybe there's some difficulties. What do you do? What do you say? Part of it. It's not good for man or woman to be alone. Keep that in mind. There is the God-ordained function of this relationship. Protecting, teaching, that goes both ways. Teaching. You know, yeah, I learned this from the message today. I've learned this, or I discovered this, and noticed this before, but in reading, this came to my attention. You know, helping one another that way, sharing joys, sharing difficulties. Again, why? Why did God establish this relationship? For these things, and you could add things to that. Those are just some that came to my mind. All to deal with, and I've said it before, when God created the seventh day, and he rested on that day, but the seventh day obviously for us becomes a day of worship, our weekly rainbow, I've described it, a time where we can think upon God. God provided for our need in creation. Well, I would suggest to you, he did the same thing with the marriage relationship. In perfection, how it functioned in the companionship, I don't know. I'll leave that to your imagination and your thoughts. But the way it is right now, we need that help. And don't be afraid of it. And maybe I speak to myself more than anybody. Because it's hard. It's hard to talk about things that don't seem to be right. It'd be nice if you never had to. But that sharing, the functions of marriage, the companionship, the second function that's mentioned here for the increase of mankind with a legitimate issue and the increase of the church with an holy seed. So, to have children. Bob mentioned the command of God to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Right? And who better than Christians? And then the training, the praying for, the helping, right? All of those things. And never underestimate the teaching and the training that comes through children's observation, right? You can talk all day long, and if you don't live it, they know it. It'd almost be better, I would suggest to you, if you said nothing. Because now you become the excuse. Well, Christianity is just hypocritical. You don't really mean it. You say nice things, but it doesn't seem to affect your life. Why should it affect mine? And certainly, that becomes a problem. The devil will jump all over it, I can assure you that. Children to be trained in the things of God for the good of man. We just considered a chapter on the civil magistrate, right? Who better to be in the role of the civil magistrate than children that have been brought up and trained and taught to love the Lord and who do love the Lord? And those being the people who are at the city gate, as it were, the county gate, those helping to make the decisions. All right? That's part of it. You don't have those, all right? Christians don't do it. Who's going to be in those positions? The children of the ungodly, right? Not that the Lord can't save them and use them. But they've got to learn then, if the Lord brings them to himself when they're adults, they got a lot to learn. Children who have been taught and know the principles, know what Scripture talks about and teaches, are obviously equipped from the get-go. Should be. With what God expects. And then, of course, the increase of the church. Those, as it were, the Lord adding to the church through the families in the church. And those growing up in the church and becoming part of the functioning of the church. Just like children grow up in the home and they take on responsibilities and they help in the home and they, okay? You can see the relationship. You can see how it works. And then the third thing that's mentioned here, and for preventing of uncleanness, so to help each other be morally pure. That's not an insignificant thing, right? If the marriage relationship fails, right, the glue, because this glue that makes the two one, the devil is going to be seeking to introduce glue solvent all the time. All right, something to loosen that glue and fracture that relationship. Well, unfortunately, we introduce the glue solvent ourselves a lot of times. Right? You don't do and you don't fulfill what God has said this relationship should do and fulfill, you're introducing glue solvent. You're giving the devil an opportunity to talk. The mind and what goes on in the head is where the devil starts. So, don't take lightly. Scripture doesn't. It addresses this very specific thing. And says, it doesn't happen. When you're married, all right, it doesn't matter. There is an obligation here, the one to the other. And I would suggest to you that if God felt it important enough to specifically mention it in Scripture, it's a big thing. It's a big thing because you and I live in a world that is bombarding this aspect of the marriage relationship constantly through people, through pictures, through whatever. It's important. And it's up to the spouse to help keep the solvents away and keep that contact. You know, the beauty. Well, let's look at a couple of these verses here on page 618. And we talked about a little bit of this last week. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, be by himself, be apart, be the only one. I will make him an help meet for him. And those two words, help and meet, are both the same word, as it were. They both mean aid. They both mean aid. And I mentioned last week, as I understand from looking at both of these words in Strong's, they come from a word that has the idea to surround, okay, to surround, to succor. That's a word that means assistance in time of want, time of difficulty, distress, right? So now you start seeing that help meet. This oneness in the glue, maybe we think of the glue, well, we and it now it's fixed. Well, the beauty of this relationship is that it can morph into whatever it needs to morph into, so that each companion, each spouse can be that help meet to the other one that they need to be at any given time. What your spouse needs today may not be what they need tomorrow. And this constant working of this relationship so that it's meeting the needs. Complementary companionship. Doing what the situation, because of sin. And sin's going to introduce all kinds of stress, distress, difficulty, struggles for the one. And that's when the other one's got to come in. Maybe for the two, and that's when the oneness has got to be relied upon greatly, so that it ministers to each other. And we encourage each other in the Lord. Well, let's pray. We don't have any answers. Let's pray. That's a good spouse. Right? And we see in the other proof text there, the aspect of the godly seed. In verse, the segment, Malachi 2:15, the treacherously there, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. That's unfaithfully. It's the idea there. Three, the moral purity. Right? You've got the proof text for that. Okay? And again, just a little reminder of a couple of the things that were back up under paragraph one, and that was the where it says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. Same thing in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave. There, it's the idea of relinquish. Relinquish. And I mentioned the second one there, Matthew, the idea there is to leave behind or to abandon. Now, again, a child, all right, who should be the primary, as it were, companion in the given relationship of the child, for the child? Who should be the primary companion of that child as the child's growing up? Who's it going to be, at least ideally? The parents. The parents. All right? So now you start seeing, the Lord says, wait a minute. You can't have two primary companionships. So the child now has to leave behind, has to abandon, has to understand. It's not going to mom and dad now to talk about it. Because now these two have become one. And here's the primary companionship. Now it's going to spouse to talk about it. It doesn't mean that mom and dad aren't in your life anymore. It just means you've got to be careful. The couple has to be careful. Mom and dad have to be careful. You don't want to become glue soffit. And that can happen. It can happen. Got to be careful. See, God made it. He knows how it should function and why. All right. Anybody got any other thoughts, comments? Before we move to the next paragraph. Okay? All right? Well, let's look at page 620. It is lawful, this is paragraph 24.3 of the Westminster Confession. It is lawful for all sorts of people to marry who are able with judgment to give their consent. Yet, it is the duty of Christians to marry only in the Lord. And therefore, such as profess the true Reformed religion should not marry with infidels, unbelievers, papists, or other idolaters. Neither should such as are godly be unequally yoked by marrying with such as are notoriously wicked in their life or maintain damnable heresies. I made this one my formula. All right, we've had the framework, we've had the function. I made this one my formula. All right. Now, it is lawful for all sorts of people to marry. Make sure you take that in the context of what we've already considered. One man, one woman. This doesn't alter that. All right. The godly and the ungodly. But for the godly, you're to marry only in the Lord. Okay? Why? And we could answer that question easily because God said so. Well, if that's the only reason you've got, that's the best reason you can have anyway. But why did God say so? If I can put it that way with the idea of us just provoking thought. Why? Well, let's go back to what we just talked about. Why is it so critical? Ben? Sure, sure. How do you ever expect to have the companionship aspect of this thing if you've got a godly and an ungodly? You've created a division from the get-go that will interfere with the companionship. That simple. You will never, that glue will never adhere. Won't do it. Because everything about that relationship is going to be impacted. Let's just talk about some of those things. So what are things that are important? What are things that you think are important in a marriage relationship that require, to some degree, a mutual consent or a mutual support, adherence of both husband and wife? Raising of children. There you go. Raising of children. Pretty important, isn't it? Since that's one of the functions, because the godly person says, we need to be at the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And the ungodly says, we need to go camping this weekend. No, y'all can go, I don't care. I'm not going. Boom. What else? Okay, a little bit of the same could impact what the children are seeing, but yourselves as well. What you want to see, what you bring in, what you put before your eyes and bring into your heart. Yeah, let's do this. I don't want to do that. You never want to do anything I want to do. You're always against everything I want to do. Apart, it flies. What else?
How you use your money and resources.
Okay. How you use your money. Let's buy this. But maybe we don't need, well, if we buy a boat, when are we going to use it? Well, we got every weekend. Okay? And on and on. We'll talk about it some more. My time's gone. But we'll talk about it. Just think about it. We'll pick up with this. Just think about it. Okay? How marrying in the Lord. Now, let me suggest it's important to marry in the Lord. It's even, if I can put it this way, even more important to maintain that relationship in the Lord. There are plenty of marriages that are between two people who knew the Lord. Okay? They married in the Lord. It's no guarantee for success in the spiritual sense. You have to maintain it. You have to work at it. Marry in the Lord, then maintain in the Lord, so that that companionship does what it should do. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful to you for your mercy to us. Lord, as we think about the companionship, the aspect of marriage, and the wonderful things it does for us, Lord, we can't help but be mindful of our fellowship and our companionship with Christ and with you through Christ. So, Lord, may it be that these practical things that we think about and talk about concerning our human marriage relationships will make us think about and talk about the companionship we have with you. Lord, we're thankful that you loved us, that Christ came and died for us. We're thankful that you care for us. You deal with us in love and mercy, even though at times we are unfaithful, we are so far from being what we need to be as Christians, as part of the bride of Christ. So Lord, help us. Help us to work, to labor at the relationship we have with thee, even as we must labor and work at the relationship, every relationship, but especially those in the home. Lord, bless us today. Meet with us. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Do us good, we ask. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.